Welcome to Federal Insights. Digital transformation depends on infrastructure modernization, sponsored by Swish Data and Riverbed Technologies.
Few agencies have modernized their IT infrastructures as quickly or as extensively as the Small Business Administration. Several years of groundwork left the agency ready to institute mass telework and to respond to a gigantic workload dumped on it by the pandemic relief legislation. For how it modernized and for a sense of what's ahead, I spoke with the SBA's Deputy Chief Information Officer, Guy Cavallo. When the pandemic hit and everyone had to mass telework at the Small Business Administration, you guys were ready because of some groundwork done prior to that. Tell us what that groundwork was all about and what your goals were.
Yeah, it looked like we moved overnight, but it was a lot of groundwork to get us ready there. Over the last 4 years, we had been working on providing more mobile devices to the workforce, so moving away from desktop towers and desktop computers and giving the staff a choice of either a convertible laptop or a tablet. So that they'd be able to take them home, because again, SBA is pretty used to responding to emergencies and needing to go to places where you weren't expecting to work. So we had the hardware in place. That, of course, buying stuff is easy. Getting the rest of the infrastructure ready was a lot harder. We knew that our current VPN provider could not handle everybody teleworking at once. So we had already started a move to SD-WAN and were actively pursuing Zscaler as an alternative. And we had about 1,000 of our users already there when this hit. And then we already were in the cloud with Office 365. So, basically everything that was on premise that typical users would need, we already had ways to get to through the cloud.
And what was the nature of the wide area network, the WAN, before you went to the software-defined type of setup? What did you have before?
Bad would be a good architectural definition of it. We're still very much in the early stages of doing it, but we had started the process 3.5 years ago of moving to Ethernet-based circuits for our offices. Our WAN is a 1990s-style hub-and-spoke network, so that if you lose the hub, you take down a number of offices. And what we're doing is moving to each office connecting independently. And so we were in the early stages of that project when this hit. But I think doing the earlier move to Ethernet, making it easier for people to connect from their home broadband to our cloud-based services and to headquarters and data center-based services, that train had already left the station and was in process. And in fact, we're now up to 4,000 users even during the crisis now on Zscaler versus a traditional VPN. So not only did we do this before the crisis hit, but we're continuing to modernize and make connectivity more secure and easier for the users during the crisis.
Because the SBA, as you point out, has always had an emergency response component because of the loans that follow disasters sometimes. It's not just all the steady state of small businesses coming. And so what was the original, I guess, motivation or spark that led you to go on to this 3-year modernization drive with both hardware and software and a whole different way of operating for the employees?
Well, our former CIO, Maria Rote, and I, when we joined 3.5 years ago, we were very much committed to the cloud. And at that point, SBA was not cloud savvy at all and was still very much heavily data center on-premise based. And the data centers that we had, the primary ones, were rapidly approaching end of life or already there with some of the equipment. And it would have required a massive capital expenditure to replace it all. So instead of investing in capital, we decided to jump in the cloud quickly because Marie and I both had that previous experience. And in fact, when I came back to the federal government 4.5 years ago from the private sector, I had led the cloud effort at TSA. So I was able to immediately take what I had done at TSA and apply it to SBA. And in 82 days from start to finish, we were in the cloud and ready to start moving services there instead.
Let's back up a moment to that TSA experience and take a little diversion there, because it would be good to know what it is that you need to think about when contemplating a move to the cloud. What are the drivers of that move? I think you discussed them already a little bit, the capital expenditures required to update data centers. But what do you have to think about in terms of the future state before you call up Amazon or Google or Microsoft and say, here I come?
Well, again, you never want to do technology just for technology's sake. You have to really tie it to your business mission and see how it would improve. I think in addition to avoiding the boom and bust cycle of continually replacing data centers, every 4, 5, 6 years, whatever cycle you're on, the elasticity and expandability of the cloud is definitely a business driver. So, you know, when I was at TSA, one of the issues that agency was facing at the time was the very long wait lines to get through checkpoints that seemed to happen overnight. And, you know, we looked at a number of technologies to help the airports manage that workflow better and decide how many gates to have open, how many checkpoints to have open, where should you have the staff deployed. And the on-premise technology wasn't useful for that. We worked at, in fact, they used to keep clipboards at the checkpoints and track the number of people and then run back to the office to type it into a desktop computer. Now, that office might be 15 minutes away, so the data was never real time. So we looked at adding tablets to the checkpoint so that data could be updated in real time. So my experiences there was, again, there was a business crisis that we needed a quick solution for. You know, definitely at that point was still on premise with email, and I don't think you'll find a single CIO that will tell you that they love owning email on premise and would never give it up to the cloud. So, you know, getting that, starting that process of moving more capabilities to the cloud, you know, that I learned at TSA and previously in my private sector career was a big help at SBA. One of the things I find agencies tend to forget about is the need to change your governance model. So while you're changing the technology and you're making, you know, instead of waiting 2.5 months to get a server ordered and delivered and installed and the operating system put on it and then your applications, being able to stand up a server in 10 minutes, you have to change the way you work and the way you approve those type of things. So something I did at TSA and I replicated it at SBA in our cloud effort was to have one of the teams from day one start working on how do we change the way we do change control, our governance decisions, how we do security. That all needs to be factored into it, because the technology is easy. We at SBA, our change control board would meet once a week or once every 2 weeks. And, you know, I told them when I got there, look, we could be making 10, 15, 20, 100 changes a day. So you have to change the way we do this.
Guy Cavallo is Deputy CIO of the Small Business Administration. We'll continue with more of the interview after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
Your network is the backbone of your agency, and during this pandemic, network capacity, speed, and security are more important than ever. Consider what IDC describes as the most significant advancement in the networking industry, software-defined WAN. Riverbed and Swish have teamed together to bring you SteelConnect EX, a centralized policy-based platform for dynamically managing application traffic across links and delivering the agility and cost-effectiveness your agency needs. Agility, performance, and security. Visit us at riverbed.com.
Welcome back to our interview with Guy Cavallo, Deputy CIO of the Small Business Administration. Our topic today is IT modernization and how far the agency has come. And let's talk about cybersecurity for a moment, because you alluded to that, and that is always a consideration for federal agencies when changing systems. And we've got all this FedRAMP in place and a lot of mechanisms to ensure this. What are the cybersecurity considerations, and how did you seek to enhance cybersecurity as you move from data center to a more modern digital infrastructure?
Tom, that's a great question, because what I've observed is that, you know, some people are still saying the cloud is less secure than on-premise. But when you have the big players behind you and their cybersecurity worldwide operations, I take great issue with that. The other thing that we saw that people do is that when you're on-premise in a data center, you'll have your own cybersecurity tools and what you're using on-prem. And then when you move to the cloud, you either try to use those same on-prem tools to manage a cloud, which they're not designed to do, or you keep them separate and you have one cybersecurity set of systems for on-prem and a separate one for the cloud. We flipped that equation around when we saw the power of the cloud cybersecurity. Let's say, let's use the cloud to monitor not only the cloud, but also on-prem, so that we still have that single pane of glass, that single dashboard, that single look, but we're leveraging the power of the cloud where machine learning and artificial intelligence are helping us drive our cyber protections at SBA. What we're able to do today, what we're able to see today versus where we were even 3 years ago or even a year ago is just tremendous on how we're protecting not only SBA, but I'm really proud of our security team that, you know, when agencies get hit with phishing emails with a malicious web link to it, a lot of people are happy just to block it or to keep it from spreading in your agency. We're actually working with DHS, and we've taken to take down those sites that those links are going to for, we've done hundreds of those over the last few months. So not only are we protecting SBA users, but we're protecting the general public and the world, because a lot of those sites are used by hackers to harvest credentials from, you know, multiple countries and not just federal government workers. So that visibility has really allowed us to proactively help protect SBA and others.
And it seems like moving to software-defined wide area networks and cloud go hand in hand, because once something is rendered as an abstraction or a bunch of containers, then you can really be very agile with how you deploy it, where you deploy it, and how many times you deploy it.
Absolutely. Like I said, with our plan to separate the hub and spoke model to individual offices model, we'll still be pulling all of those log information and that cyber information will go to our cloud for that same single pane of glass view of everything. So like I said, it gives me more uptime for everybody, so one site doesn't take down multiple sites, but it still gives us that constant flow of information to our SOC to see what's going on in each location across the country and the territories. Because remember, SBA has offices not only in the 50 states, but also in our territories. So we have quite a broad, wide area network to deal with.
And getting back to the cybersecurity question, agencies are now looking at the TIC 3.0, Trusted Internet Connection 3.0 initiative coming from Homeland Security, which is a way to take it out of its physical presence and make it cloud friendly, I guess you could call it. How are you dealing with TIC 3.0, and how does that all figure into the modernization and the cloud adoption you're doing?
That's a great question. About 2 years ago, we had proposed that once we saw the power of our cybersecurity cloud tools, we had proposed to OMB and DHS that we would like to do a TIC in the cloud pilot with them. And they thought it was a great idea and added GSA to it also. So we did a 90-day pilot. Sean Connolly over at DHS was a great partner in this, OMB, NGSA, all of us doing daily stand-ups. And what we were able to show was how we could impact and have that visibility on monitoring our network and our operations. And in fact, the successful conclusion of our pilot, I think, had a big influence on the TIC 3.0 policy. And now we're moving from the pilot phase to actually implementing and making that a permanent change. At this point, we're still on the MTIPS network and going through the traditional TIC, but our whole plan from the pilot was to then, once the TIC 3.0 policy came out and it matched what we need to do, we're this is one of the things where the COVID-19 situation has slowed us down. We're on our way to implementing ArcTIC 3.0 version and use the cloud as our tech funnel. So that's still to come, but I'm hoping within the next few months we'll be able to get back on that and get that in place.
Guy Cavallo is Deputy CIO of the Small Business Administration. We'll continue with the third and final segment of the interview after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
Your network is the backbone of your agency, and during this pandemic, network capacity, speed, and security are more important than ever. Consider what IDC describes as the most significant advancement in the networking industry, software-defined WAN. Riverbed and Swish have teamed together to bring you SteelConnect EX, a centralized policy-based platform for dynamically managing application traffic across links and delivering the agility and cost-effectiveness your agency needs. Agility, performance, and security. Visit us at riverbed.com.
Welcome back to our third and final segment of our interview with Guy Cavallo, Deputy CIO of the Small Business Administration, discussing digital modernization. And I really wanted to talk to you also about the applications necessary for the Payroll Protection Plan. This is something that came at SBA all of a sudden, just like the telework did. And there was a little bit of a struggle there, but most of the money has been committed now, and it seems to be operating better. Tell us what was required to gear up in terms of applications and cloud instances, whatever it took to be able to take this legacy application and make it suddenly gigantic because of the workload that came out of Congress.
Sure. It's always interesting when a new program is being working its way through Congress, and even though you know that it's coming, until the final version is done, you don't know what the final requirements are. So even as we knew that this was coming, until they got the final bill passed and signed by the president, then we had the final requirements to work with that. Now, we had already moved most of our disaster loan processing system to the cloud over a multi-year effort led by the Office of Disaster Assistance. So on that end, they were good. But the application part of applying for your loans through SBA, that was still hosted in an on-premise data center, and it was not designed to handle the nationwide impact of people simultaneously hitting it. So that really struggled and choked and became overloaded. And we spent time seeing, was there any way that we could expand it quickly enough, and determined that we couldn't. And so partnering with ODA, we made the decision to move it and redo it in the cloud, and in about 5 days our teams had finished that and moved it so that we now had the redundancy and the elasticity of the cloud, and we just turned the on-premise version off and went forward with that. So it was a rough week while we were in the process of trying to get that built and having people not be able to access the system because all the circuits were full and it couldn't take any more activity. But I said, since we made that move, we've been able to absorb even the second round of funding and other enhancements that continue to come through Congress for the system.
It's an amazing story because I think some estimates said that SBA had to process loans in a matter of 14 days that would normally have taken 14 years, was the number that I heard. And when you say redoing that front-end application, what is involved in redoing? Because you had certain logic that you had to preserve. Was that logic rendered in an old-fashioned programming language, or how did you get to point A to point B?
It was a combination of doing a little bit of lift and shift for some of it and then new code for the rest of it. Again, the team, it is not a perfectly written design for the cloud application because it's that hybrid of both because of the timing. But what it did show and really reinforce, I think, to everybody at SBA that having our applications that have that potential of having a massive wave in a very short period of time hit, that doing those applications in the cloud versus on-premise was absolutely the right way to go, both now and in the future. I don't think we'll have any arguments to bring that back on-premise after we've seen this. The previous wave that hit SBA that was a fraction of this, but at the time was very large, was when the three hurricanes hit of Harvey, Irma, and Maria, you know, which hit different parts of the country. So we had regions all hitting SBA at once. But to have the COVID-19 situation where every state is hit, I would not want to pay for the on-premise hardware to have sitting there in case this happens again, versus being able to expand in the cloud and then to shrink back your size when the event's over.
So it's fair to say that even if we don't have a once-in-a-century situation and resulting workload, it's just good IT practice now, as people modernize, to just go cloud first with applications and kind of give up on this notion that you can never have a data center big enough to take what might be just a 10-year or 25-year event, let alone a century event.
Yeah, I think everything needs to be looked at from a business perspective. But like I said, if things like what SBA does, what FEMA does, even election cycles where, every 4 years when you have a presidential election, you get a lot more traffic than anything in between. Those are the type of things that I think the expandability and elasticity of the cloud really speak that you should, your argument shouldn't be, should you do it, but it should be, why aren't we doing this in the cloud, so that we don't have all that hardware investment sitting there waiting for that event.
All right, and you've got a big wave of modernization then behind you. What are you looking at next for the next 6 months or a year?
Well, definitely we want to continue our move to SD-WAN and breaking that old-fashioned hub-and-spoke network apart. When COVID-19 hit, we were in the process of migrating from Skype for Business to Teams as our internal collaboration tool. We were planning to do that this fall, but because of this, we had to move it up to immediately. For example, our administrator wanted to set up a senior command center to get input from all the senior leaders on a daily basis, like anyone would expect in a crisis mode. And the traditional model would have been to throw them all in a small conference room for hours and expose our entire senior leadership to a potential virus incident. So we instead told them that we would make a virtual command center in Teams, and that way if someone's in the office, they could participate, or if they're working from home, and just having our leadership team see the value of that cloud-based command center, I think has really helped reinforce Teams. So, I mean, my view on technology is that tomorrow it's always different, so we're never going to be done. But like I said, those are a couple of things we're working on now and why we're still continuing to modernize applications. We still have quite a few applications at SBA that are on-premise based that we're going through the application rationalization playbook analysis from the Federal CIO Council to look at what's the best way to go forward with them. So we're not done, and I don't think we'll ever be done, but those are a couple of the big things that we have coming up.
Well, maybe you can do those next dozen each in 5 days apiece, huh?
Yeah, I had staff pulling all-nighters like they did back in college, so I don't know how many times I can get them to do that.
You've been listening to an interview with Guy Cavallo, Deputy CIO of the Small Business Administration. To hear this interview again or share it, visit federalnewsnetwork.com and search Federal Insights. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights. Digital transformation depends on infrastructure modernization. Sponsored by Swish Data and Ripple.